All right. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn back with me there to the book of Genesis. You know, as I was thinking about Joseph and thinking about first responders and emergency workers, I was just, you know, basically, God is using Joseph in a very large way to rescue many people from peril. And that's what emergency responders do. They rescue people from peril, and they help them out in the worst of circumstances. And we see that in the life of Joseph, and that's the title of the message, Helping Others in Need. And God has called us to do that, to help others. I heard about a young man that he is interested in going into law enforcement. And I told his father, I said, you know, let him know that's a noble profession. And it's a good calling of the Lord, but it's definitely got some challenges he needs to be prepared for. There's no question about that. But we need to be helpers of people. And one of the greatest helps that we can give people is sharing them what Jesus has done in our lives and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest help we can give anybody. If we just help them with their physical needs and we don't help them with their spiritual needs, we've given them more life on earth, but it's more life of the same troubles and heartaches and destruction of sin that they've already been having. And we need to give them the life-giving message of Jesus Christ and truly be helpers of others. We're going to close out the chapter 41 and read the last part of that chapter in the life of Joseph. And I'm going to begin picking up the narrative of this account of the life of this man in history in verse 44. God's word says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of Onan. And Onan was a city, and it was a city that was dedicated to the sun god Ra of the Egyptians. And so he was a priest over this city that was more than likely a temple that he served in for the sun god Ra. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now Joseph is doing the job he was given to do by Pharaoh. If you remember last week, Joseph told Pharaoh the interpretation of his dream, that there'd be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. They needed someone to collect grain from the good years and hold it in reserve for the lean years. And Pharaoh chose Joseph for that job. Now remember, Joseph is not an Egyptian citizen. He's a Jew. And the Egyptians didn't really have problems with Jews in that day. They were welcome in their area. But he had gotten there kind of an odd way. He got there as a slave. And then, don't forget, he was also put in prison. So he was an Egyptian. He was a former slave and a prisoner. And he's being exalted to second in command over the entire nation of Egypt, the empire at that time. And so this is a pretty amazing thing. And he's doing this job of collecting the grain and getting things ready for the famine that was coming. And Joseph even said, God is telling you this and showing you grace to get you prepared. God's given us his word to tell us what is coming to help us be prepared. Just like the weather forecasters have been telling people in the Keys, and basically everybody in the Keys did evacuate, and good thing, because it was pretty rough there this morning. But they were giving them warning about what was coming. And they made a choice. They either chose to leave or they chose to stay. And if they chose to stay, they chose everything that comes with staying. God has given us his word. And he's given us his warning about the future. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. There's an eternity for everybody. Eternity, everyone will enter eternity. It's appointed to the man once to die, and after that, the judgment. It's the same for everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, what your nationality is, what your background is, what even your faith is. It doesn't matter. It's the same for everybody. God's given us his word to warn us about that and to prepare us for that. But we have to choose if we're going to take the warning and heed the preparation or not. But when we choose not to, we choose all the consequences that come with it. And we need to understand that. And so God is using Joseph in this fashion. It says, in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, meaning a lot. It was a great, abundant harvest. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the fields, which was round about every city, laid he up the same. So they collected it, and they stored it up for future use. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, and it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of Onan, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So Manasseh means to forget. You know, the first step in forgetting is letting it go. It's called forgiveness. Literally, if you took the word forgiveness and defined it, literally, it means to let go of a debt, to let go of something that someone's done to you. You know, there are some things that are harder to forget than others, things that traumatize us in great ways. And those that serve in the emergency professions have been adversely affected psychologically with traumatic events that have taken place. And some of those things, they never get over. But you know, the first step in healing from whatever the past has brought to you is forgiveness. Yes. There may be people here today that are still carrying things that have been plaguing them for years, and the first step in healing is forgiveness. And Joseph got there. I mean, if anybody had a reason to hold a grudge, it was Joseph. Amen? I mean, he had some terrible things happen to him. You may be thinking, well, Joseph didn't live my life. I have terrible things too. And you may. And they may be terrible in a different way than what Joseph experienced. But the solution to Joseph's trauma is exactly the same for you, my friend. You need to forgive to help you forget and move past that thing so it does not hold you back from the potential that lies within you. Satan wants us to be held back from what we could do with God. Satan wants to steal from us the blessings we could have from God. And one of the things that he likes to use is the baggage of our life that weighs us down. Joseph wasn't going to carry that baggage. Amen. He was in the process of forgetting because he had already started forgiving. And that's why he calls his firstborn son Manasseh. And they said in verse 52, he named the second and called him Ephraim. And here's the meaning of Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. See, he's honoring God. And I don't know if his wife came to faith or not. We don't know that. We're not told that. But I'm kind of thinking, if I know Joseph very well at all, I'm kind of thinking that Joseph definitely shared Yahweh with her. And I'm kind of thinking if she went along with these names like he named them, she may have gotten on board with that plan. Amen? And remember, her dad was a priest of a pagan god. We never know the victories that God may bring out of our tragedies. See, it's far better for us to leave those tragedies in God's hands and let him use them for good. I still believe Romans 8:28 and 29. I hope you do. See, God can take the good, the bad, the ugly, even the disgusting things of our past that people have done to us, and He can use those for good in our life and the lives of other people if we trust Him with them. And Joseph is a great example of that. God hadn't even recorded Romans 8, 28, and 29. Joseph was living the reality of it because he was a child of God, trusting in the true God, the eternal God of all time. And go on in verse 53, in the 7 years of plenteous, and the land was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth or famine began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the lands. Notice that plural there. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So all the surrounding nations were also affected. And we know by the fact that his brothers came all the way from up in Canaan down to Egypt, it spread for many, many miles into vast numbers of nations beyond Egypt. And there was bread to be found in Egypt because God used Joseph to save much people alive. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith you, to you do. So Pharaoh is giving all this authority to Joseph. And if he was at all vain or if he was at all malicious, or he could have used that for exploit to himself, but that's not the kind of person Joseph was. Joseph could be trusted. Amen. See, you can't buy character. Character is something you have to grow in over life. Young people, your character is more valuable to you than money can buy.
That's right.
And it's the virtue of your heart that will determine the display of your character. That's who Joseph was. And so he did not take advantage of these people. He did not take advantage of his position. He saw himself as a servant, whether he was a prisoner or a slave or a prime minister. He saw himself as a servant, and he sought to serve. I've met people in all different positions of public service, and I've met some that see themselves as public servants. And their service shows that. And their attitude shows that. And I've seen others that are getting what they can get from it. Let us not be that way. Let us truly see ourselves as servant, whatever the position we may be in, that we would honor the Lord and be trusted by others. Verse 56 says, the famine was all over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was sore in the land. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this truth of Scripture. And I thank you for those who serve to protect us. And Lord, help us to be true servants of you in the lives of the people around us that we can help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Walmart, but I am a fan of Sam Walton. And when Walmart went public, it changed the whole atmosphere of the store and the corporation. But under Sam Walton, things were very different. In fact, when he started it, his whole goal was to buy as much American as he could and to make it available to people. And up until the time he died, he drove a 72, I think, Ford or Chevy, I'm not sure, don't want to get into that fight, but pickup, no air conditioning, just, and that's it. That was him. He was a farm boy, grew up as a farm boy, but he was the youngest Eagle Scout ever to reach that level when he was in the eighth grade at that time. He was also the president of a senior class in high school. And when he graduated, his dad moved off the farm to work for an insurance company to help farmers. And he went to college, and he paid his way through college with working odd jobs and delivering papers and even working as a waiter. He graduated from the University of Missouri. One of the jobs he did was a lifeguard. Whatever he could do to earn money and pay for college, he did that. He wanted to earn his way. After he graduated, he worked for companies like JCPenney's and DuPont munitions plant there in the Southeast when World War II was going on. A quote by him is listed there. It says, I think I overcame every single one of my personal shortcomings by sheer passion I brought to my work. I don't know if you're born with this kind of passion or if you can learn it, but I do know you need it to succeed. And you know, everybody here has limitations. Everybody does. Nobody's got it all put together. The key is how we handle those limitations. And if we let them totally dictate our future, or if we mitigate their effect on us and we maximize the things we're good at. But it takes effort, it takes work, and it takes passion, as he said. Not letting a failure become your life story, but learning from it and moving on and making things different. And I see that in the life of Joseph. I see a passion and a drive that caused him to not let his circumstances keep him from the potential God put within him. And we need to be that way. We need to let God help us as we live life to his glory. And there's some things in this story that I think are very important for us to get in the life of Joseph that I think it's important for us to gain and understand to help us in reaching our potential and living to the glory of God and living out that passion that God's put within us, whatever the circumstances that we might be in are. And the first thing I see here in this story in the life of Joseph is honoring God by caring for your family. And that's what Joseph did. He took care of his family. Now, this is an arranged marriage. And that's the first level of family right there is you don't start with a family when you have kids. You start with a family when you get married. That's your family. You add the kids to the family. The problem in our society is we've got way too many kids being born into a context that's not a family. God wants kids to be raised in a family that starts with a husband and wife that are committed to one another and devoted to one another. And they raise their kids in that environment of love and safety and security in that relationship. But Joseph got married to this woman, and it wasn't like his choice. Somebody says, well, he married an Egyptian. Well, the Pharaoh told him he was going to. I mean, here he is, he's a slave, just got out of prison, and he is exalted to prime minister, but he's still under the Pharaoh, and what the Pharaoh says goes. And so he marries this woman because that's what the Pharaoh wanted to be done, and that's what he did. And you know, love is a choice. I was in India back in 2010 with our missionary there, national pastor, Brother Bamwell. And in India, they still do arranged marriages. And I asked him before I left, what's something I can be praying for you about? And he says, well, I'm trying to find a husband for my daughter. And a year or so later, his next daughter in line, he had two, a daughter and a son that were already married. And he was working on the next one. And a couple of years later, he said that the Lord answered that. He found a good Christian fella that would be a good match for his daughter. And they got married. So that still happens. I remember listening to Ravi Zacharias one time, and he's from India. His family migrated to Canada, and he and his brother grew up in Canada the last part of their life. And their parents stayed connected with friends and family friends back in India. And his dad chose a bride for his brother in India. And his brother had never met this woman. And they were going back to India for the wedding. And the first time he ever saw her was when he got off the plane. And Ravi Zacharias asked him, how in the world are you going to love this woman that you don't even know? And his brother told him, I'm going to choose to. Amen. I'm kind of thinking that Joseph chose to love the wife that he was given. Amen. We're not told a lot about his family, a lot about his family life, but we're told a lot about Joseph. Amen. And as I see the man Joseph, I see a man that was a loving man and a caring man and a providing man. And he respected the position of his wife, even though it wasn't his choice, but it was his wife. And I can imagine that he just chose to love her because that was the right thing to do. And that's what would honor God. Men, you're married, you need to love your wife because that's the right thing to do.
Amen.
And that's what honors God. That's what we see with Joseph. We see him married. We see him choosing to love. We see him in a committed marriage. That's the way marriage ought to be. Is a commitment. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. And we need to see it that way. See, Pharaoh was an emperor. And an emperor gets his way in his empire. And like I said, Joseph didn't have a choice in this matter. The emperor had decided this because he wanted this prime minister in his country to be invested into his nation. And that's what happened. I imagine that he wanted him also to buy into his religion, but that didn't happen. You know, when you're truly a child of God and you're truly a follower of God, it doesn't matter if you're in an easy situation or a hard situation, you're just a follower of God. And Joseph did not convert to paganism, I can guarantee you that. But I do believe, and I don't have any proof to this, but I kind of think when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Joseph's wife there too. I just kind of believe that. See, Joseph was committed to doing what God gave him to do in rescuing Egypt, and this was part of that, in marrying this woman. He calls her a wife, doesn't call her a domestic partner.
That's right. Oh,
calls her a wife. See, people talk about how cultures change and blah, blah, blah. You know what? There was perversions of marriage and sexuality all the way through the Bible times. Perversion of marriage and sexuality is nothing new. People living together, instead of getting married, sex outside of marriage, sexual perversion, that's nothing new. It's been around a long time. But God's people need to live God's way. And God's people need to save sex for marriage. I preached a message just several weeks ago about sacred sexuality, and sexuality ought to be sacred. Not ought to be perverse like it is today. It ought to be reserved for marriage only. And it ought to be in a marriage between a husband and a wife only. That's the only kind of marriage the Bible refers to. That's the only kind of marriage God's people should refer to. Doesn't matter what the culture does. We need to stick to the Bible. Amen. It calls her a wife, not his woman. I don't like degrading terms like that. I like terms of value and respect and honor. Calls him his wife. We see a biblical marriage as one man and one woman. You say, well, they practiced polygamy in the Bible times. Well, not everybody did. God never said it was the right thing to do. See, we need to just honor God and do things God's way. And God brought the blessing of children. The Bible says in Psalm 127, lo, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. I'm kind of thinking that Joseph valued his children. I think it's sad when children are seen as a negative thing in a relationship. They ought to be seen as a blessing from God.
Amen.
Are they difficult? Yes, they are. Do they stop getting difficult? No, they don't. But doesn't change the fact that we should love them and treat them with value.
Amen.
As a gift from God. And we need to be reminded that the fact is they're a gift from God, and every gift from God that we're given, we're going to be answerable to God for how we care for that gift, including our children and our spouse. See, he named these two children Forget and Fruitful. I think that's interesting. See, he had forgotten what his brothers had done. Was it still in his mind? Yes. Was it controlling him? No. See, that's the difference. Somebody says, well, I can't forget. It happened and I can't forget. That's right. It may still be there, but it does not have to control you. He still remembered what it was like to be in the pit, but he didn't hate his brothers for it. See, there's things that have happened to you. You say, I'll never forget it. And that may be true, but you don't have to let it keep controlling your life and destroying your life and destroying the people around you through you. See, the idea of forgetting here is not the fact that it didn't happen. And you're never going to get past something acting like it didn't happen. Your psyche will not allow that to happen. You have to acknowledge that it happened. You have to accept that. And Joseph had accepted what happened, but he was not willing to let what happened dictate his future. And we need to be the same way. See, he had moved past the 13 years that were gone. You cannot get back the past. Joseph could not get back the 13 years he lived as a prisoner and as a prisoner. I mean, as a slave and as a prisoner. He couldn't get those back. Nobody can give you back the damage that's done to you by somebody else. But my friend, the Bible still says, and I still believe, that he can restore unto you what the locusts have eaten. And he can bring beauty out of ashes. That's the God of the Bible. And that's the God that Joseph believed in. And if you believe in that God can help you move past the pain of your past and experience his blessing in your future. You do not have to let the tragedies of the past dictate your experience of the future. And that's what Joseph is talking about when he says he's forgetting. He's moved beyond it. He's not still living in the past. There's way too many people living in the past in the present. And what you do when you do that is you relive the past over and over. And it just damages you more and more. See, he was forgetting because he was forgiving. It didn't change the fact that Potiphar's wife lied about him and he was put in prison innocently. But he wasn't letting that control him. See, he was forgiving those that had done wrong to him. And forgiveness, my friend, is the first step in letting go. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, recompense no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Yes. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. My friend, that wasn't written when Joseph lived, but he was living it. Because his God was the God that wrote it.
Amen.
Thousands of years later. My friend, you and I need to understand. See, our motto is, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Franklin Umber. But that's not what the Bible says. See, we need to give place to the Lord. God can take care of things far better than we can. And the idea that some people, I've heard people really pervert this text in verse 20 where it says about heaping coals of fire on their head. The idea that you're really going to get their goat. You're going to really burn them up by being nice to them. Boy, that is a self-serving attitude, isn't it? That is not this text. That is not the tenor of this text. That is not the spirit of this text. That's nothing in this text. There's no selfishness in this text. There's no pride in this text. There's no, I'm going to get you in this text. This text is about loving and serving and blessing people, even if they don't bless you.
Amen.
which is supposed to be the Christian way, but we don't see it very often in Christians today. The idea of heaping coals of fire on their head is the fact that fire was life. They did not have a Bic lighter in the Bible. They did not have, you know, a book of matches in the Bible. Fire was life. You heated by fire. You cooked food by fire. It was necessary for life. The idea here is you are meeting a genuine need in that person's life to sustain their life because they're a human. Even if they're your enemy, they're still a human. And that's the attitude of this text. See, the emergency workers, they don't ask you what's your nationality when you're in need. It's not relevant. They don't ask what's your religious persuasion when you're in need. It's not relevant. They don't ask you what's your economic status when you're in need. It's not relevant. They don't even ask you what your IQ is or how you voted in the last election. See, we get caught up on a lot of stuff. But when a human being is indeed, none of that ought to be relevant. It's the fact that they're a human being created in the image of God. They have a need. I can help. I should help. Amen. That's what God wants for His children. And nothing else is that important. See, the Bible tells us we need to forgive one another as God hath forgiven us. Aren't you glad God said, aren't you glad God didn't say, I'll forgive you of this, this, and that, but not this over here? Aren't you glad about that? So who are we to say to somebody else, I'll forgive you for this, this, and this, but not this over here? See, the Bible says we need to forgive others as God hath forgiven us. God forgave us not because we deserved it. Somebody says, well, they aren't really repentant, so they don't deserve forgiveness, so I'm not going to forgive them. How many times have you asked God to forgive you for the same sin over and over and over?
Oh, boy.
See, the Bible says, forgive one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, God does not ignore our sin. God does not just say, it's okay that you sinned. God says, I'll forgive you of that sin because of what Jesus did for you and because of your response to Him. That's how we should forgive people. I kind of think that's how Joseph forgave his brothers, like God forgave him. And he called the other one fruitfulness. See, God is praising the Lord for bringing him out of that past and putting him in His presence. God was thanking the Lord for, or Joseph was thanking the Lord for His faithfulness to His word and the dreams that He gave to him, and now they were come to fruition. God was thanking the Lord for His faithfulness and blessing him with these two boys through his wife. And he's honoring the Lord with that. And he's giving thanks to the Lord for His blessing and the fruitfulness that was made possible through His obedience. My friend, God blesses obedience. If we want the blessing of God, we just need to be obedient to God. And He'll bless us. The other thing I see that's very important for us here today is that He honored God not only with His family relationships, He honored God by budgeting resources. If you do not have a controlled spending plan, you need one. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or anywhere in between, you need to control your spending if you're going to have success. You have to. Because you, unlike our government, you cannot keep spending more than you make and succeed in life. You just can't. And what we see with Joseph here is God gave them the warning about the 7 years of leanness, and He gave them time to prepare with the 7 years of plenty. But what if God had not given them that warning? You and I both know what human nature is like because we all have it. What Egypt would have done in the 7 years of plenty is lived high on the hog, and they would have had nothing in the 7 years of dearth. And that's exactly what people are doing today. They get a little extra, and they just cannot wait to spend it. No thought of saving it. I heard somebody once say, the Bible doesn't say anything about savings. I'm not sure what version of the Bible they were reading, but it's not mine, because the Bible has a lot to say about savings. See, Joseph worked to earn his way. He worked hard for Potiphar, and he was advanced. He worked hard for the prison keeper, and he was advanced. And now he is working hard for Pharaoh to save many people's lives, and he was successful in doing that. He worked hard. He earned his way. But God helped him, too. And that's the way success is. Hard work and the help of God. That helps us to succeed in life. Young people, you want to succeed in your education this year? I promise you it's going to take some hard work. If you think it's going to come easy, you're lying to yourself. And you're being foolish. Because nothing worth having comes easy. It's going to take some work. But if you do your studying, and you do your work, and you ask God to bless, He will. And you'll find success. Joseph worked hard and God blessed. And God worked in ways that he could not work as long as he was doing what he could do. He's providing for those in his care. He's providing for his family. He's providing for Egypt. He's providing for the nations around Egypt. And he's going to end up providing for the family of his father in a great way. And that's what we should do with our income, our resources, is provide for people. We need to provide for our own family. Amen. And we need to provide for others in need. I hope we're going to receive a love offering on Anniversary Sunday, and I've been praying about how to use that. And there's a church that's feeding 200 to 300 people every single night in Houston, Texas. And I think they could use some help with that. People that don't have a house to cook in because their house is underwater. They're coming to a church that believes just like we'd believe, and they're getting some help from people who just like us. But you know, when you make some money, you need to take care of your family. Amen. But you also need to hang on to some, because there's probably going to be somebody you can help along the way. Oh boy. Don't spend it all. See, Joseph was helping out others. And then you need to save some extra. And for anybody who doesn't think savings is in the Bible, I've given you a few verses there that you can look up and study out. I'm going to kind of think you're going to find that there's some savings in the Bible. The Bible says a wise man has oil in his home because he's been saving it up. The foolish man uses it all up. The idea is, if you're going to be wise, you need to save some of your resources. And that's exactly how Joseph helped Egypt get through this famine, by saving some of their resources to help them in time of need. And then the last thing I want you to think about is this. Joseph honored God by taking care of his family. Joseph honored God by budgeting his resources. And Joseph honored God by helping others in need. And that's exactly what emergency workers do. They help people in need. See, Joseph helped the people of Egypt. The famine was in all the land. The famine was beyond the land of Egypt and the surrounding countries. But there was food in Egypt because Joseph helped them. He helped them prepare for this disaster. He helped them save up for this disaster. He helped them weather this famine storm that was upon them for 7 years. Because he wisely managed their resources. You know, the Bible talks about good works, and they're important. The problem with a lot of religion is they put good works before salvation, not after salvation. I've met some people in emergency services. They actually believe that their service as a public servant is helping them in merit with God. because of good works. We say that's ridiculous, but that's what religions teach. You earn your way in a better place with God, whatever your God is, whatever your religion is. All the religions of man teach you earn your way to a better place through good works. And if you did enough good works, then you get to that best place. All religions of man teach that. But the Bible puts it in opposite order. Amen. The Bible says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But don't forget verse 10 in that, in Ephesians 2. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." See, if you're truly saved, it ought to produce some good works in your life. Amen. See, we don't believe that good works save you, but we do believe the Bible teaches if you're saved, you ought to do some good works.
Amen.
It's not the production of salvation, it's the fruit of salvation. It doesn't get you to heaven. It's because you're going to heaven. It doesn't make you a child of God. It's because you are a child of God trying to serve God in the lives of other people. See, good works are important. We just have to keep them in the right place. See, Joseph helped people from other countries. Not just Egyptians, but other people. And that's the way we need to be. It doesn't matter who they are. See, Joseph helped the people of Egypt and those around him, people from pagan. Joseph was a follower of Jehovah God, but he was helping pagans out. You know, I know some Christians, sad to say, I know some Christians, if they were in Joseph's place, they would say, "Good riddance, they need to die." That's pathetic. How carnal of an attitude is that? Joseph didn't care they were pagans. They're created in the image of God. They needed help. He was willing to help them. See, we need to help people because they're created in God's image. See, my friend, when we see those pictures of the World Trade Center's disaster and we see the aftermath of Harvey and all of that, people don't care who you are and what your political persuasion is. Just the fact that you're a human being in need. And when we're sharing the gospel, we should not care who they are or what they are or whatever. We just need to be care that they're created in the image of God. God loved them. God sent Jesus for them, and they need to hear about Jesus. Amen. Joseph helped people in need. Didn't matter who they were, he was helping them. We need to be that way. Joseph helped people in his own family. We're going to look at this in the coming weeks, but just remember, those brothers that came to him for grain, they're the ones that threw him in the pit and talked about killing him. If he had not let go of the sin that they had committed to him, we would see revenge taking place. But we don't see that because he forgave them. And remember, it's those brothers that got this whole downward spiral started by selling him as a slave into Egypt. See, there's a lot of people, they couldn't get past that. They would be executing their brothers for that, not giving them food. You need to be careful about an unforgiving spirit. Because the person that destroys the most is the person that's not willing to forgive. See, we see Joseph succeeding because Joseph handled his past right so he could experience his future best. There's a lot of people, maybe you here today, you're not experiencing your present well because you haven't dealt with your past correctly. And not only is it messing up your present, it's going to keep messing up your future. And it's going to keep you from the potential you could have, that God could use you for. My friend, I want to encourage you to be like Joseph. Don't let your past dictate your future. Let God help you forgive the past and move beyond it so you can experience His best for your now and for your future. It's possible. Remember, Joseph is just a normal guy. Just like you, just like me. But he had a great God. If you've got that same great God, you can experience greatness in your life. But if you don't know that great God, today's a great day to know that great God. Because he sent his son to die on the cross for you. If you'll only trust him and receive him as your Savior. Let's pray.